Well, good evening. It sure is nice to see each one of you here tonight. I feel privileged and honored to be able to share the message and the hope of the gospel. There isn't anything more important in life than our souls. And the judgment is the most weighty thing that can be considered and that will take place. And in life, the Lord affords us opportunity to make our calling and election sure, so that when we get to the end of the way, we can hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And so I want to do everything that I can do in this life with the help of the Lord to make my calling and election sure. I trust that this meeting, the services that we have, will serve to both encourage and challenge each one of you. I'd like to start tonight in the Gospel of John and the first chapter and the 19th verse. John 1 and 19, it said, "And this is the record of John, who, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he said, 'I am not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?' And he said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah.'" Well, this was quite a question that was posed to John. They came to John and they said, "Who are you?" Well, they weren't really interested in what his proper name was. They didn't come because they weren't sure what his mother called him growing up. No doubt there were others that were called John too. He probably wasn't the only one that had the name of John. But they wanted to know, "Who are you? What are you about? What is your purpose? Why are you here? What is it that you're trying to accomplish? What are you? Who are you?" It's quite a question, isn't it? Do you know who you are tonight? That's quite a question too. You see, one of these days, that's eventually going to be made known in the clearest of terms, who we are. And I'm interested this evening in knowing who I am. And I want you to know tonight that I'm challenged personally by this message. I have not reached where I want to reach with this message. Because it's a very personal message. Who are you is the question. So that's what I'd like to think about tonight. In the 18th chapter of Genesis, if we could turn there. In the 18th chapter of Genesis and the 19th verse, a little background before we pick up. This is when the angels, there were believed three angels of the Lord. Maybe one of them was, some think, Jesus Christ Himself, that came and paid a visit to Abraham. Do you remember that? Abraham was at his tent one day, and here came three men. Do you think that the three men gave Abraham warning by his cell phone before they came and said, "Hey Abraham, there's three angels, and we're getting ready, and we're going to see you tomorrow afternoon"? Do you think that happened? I think the angels just showed up. Kathy and I have been talking this last week or so. You never know when you might be entertaining angels. Be careful who you cut off on the road. You might have just cut off an angel. You don't know who it is that's approaching you. May God help us each one to live so that whomever we meet, it might be the Lord. Well, three men showed up one of these days. Showed up to Abraham unannounced. And he was there and he served them. And they were on their way, if you remember, to Sodom and Gomorrah. And in the 19th verse it said, and these are the angels talking, they said, seeing that Abraham shall surely become... Well, let's start in the 17th verse. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. So they're talking and they're wondering, shall we hide what we're getting ready to do here with Sodom and Gomorrah? And this is what the Lord said, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. The Lord said, the angel said, for I know him. He didn't have to ask Abraham, well, wait a minute, Abraham, tell me again who you are. Abraham, would you please explain to me what you meant the other day when you made these decisions in life? He didn't have to ask Abraham that question. He simply said, for I know him. The Lord just knew him. No explanation was needed about Abraham. And he knew him in a good way. Do you know why he knew him in a good way? He knew him in a good way because Abraham's conduct of life manifested actions and behaviors that the Lord looked down and he saw the fruit of Abraham's life, and so he was able to say, I know him. It went past his testimony of his lips. He just knew him. He knew who he was. On the other end of the spectrum, do you remember the angel that came to the church at Laodicea? Do you remember what the angel said to the church at Laodicea? The angel said simply, I know thy works. Thou art neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm. And because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, thou art rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And know ye not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I counsel thee, the Lord said, you need to buy some gold that's tried in the fire. You need to buy a white raiment that your nakedness would be covered, or that the shame of thy nakedness wouldn't appear. You need to get a hold of some eye salve that your eyes be opened up. You see, he didn't have to go to the church and sit down and say, now folks, I don't really understand exactly where you're coming. Could you please help me understand your works? The Lord just said, I know your works. And this is how it is. You need a lot of help. Thankful that every time the Lord points out places where we need help, he always gives us hope. He always shows us a way out. Thank the Lord. And he did with the church at Laodicea. But the point that I want us to get a hold of is that the Lord knows. He knows. He knew who Abraham was. He knew who the church at Laodicea was. And he didn't have to ask a lot of questions about who they were. And so the question, one question this evening may be, who are you? What would the Lord say about you and about me? Would he say, you're as Abraham? Or would we fall into the category of those from the church at Laodicea? The Lord knows us tonight. He knows us. And there's going to come a time at the end, at the last judgment, when there isn't going to need to be any explanation. He isn't going to ask us for any clarification. The Lord isn't going to have to get a group of people around and say, well, what do you all think? Or how did you all interpret this? But it's going to be a serious time where the Lord, he knows who we are. We're not going to have an opportunity to spin the truth. There isn't going to be any judicial committees. There isn't going to be any groups of people that get to decide what they think and majority rules. That isn't going to happen. But the Lord knows, and it's sobering to me to think about that. Well, this evening, I know that you know that God knows. That's not a mystery to anybody here tonight. I haven't told you anything that you don't know and that you haven't heard before, I suspect. I know that you know that God knows everything. So here's my question tonight, and I wrote it on the board. Do you know you? You know, it's really would be really easy for us to laugh at that question. Do I know me? I mean, it's me. But who is the person that we know the best and maybe know the least about all at the same time and often are afraid to get to know better? Particularly when it comes to knowing ourselves in the light of God. It's usually me. It's ourselves, isn't it? Many times, isn't that the way that it works? I want to say this before I go any further. I remember in prayer meeting one night, a lot of years ago, Brother Clifford Wilson was testifying, and he got up and he said that when he got saved, he told the Lord, he said, "Lord," he said, "I want to know, I want to see myself just exactly like you see me. Lord, I want to serve you. Help me to see myself just like you see me." But you know what happened? He didn't get an answer that night. The Lord didn't answer his prayer that night. So the next day came and Brother Clifford said, "Lord, help me to see myself just like you see me." And lo and behold, he didn't get his prayer answered that night either. And so this went on for, I don't remember how many days, he said. He kept asking the Lord. Well, finally one day, and if my memory serves me correct, if some of you here remember this testimony, you can correct me, but it seemed like it was early one morning. He was outside, and the sun was shining through this tree, and I don't know if there was ice all over the trees, you know, when there's little icicles that are like over the whole tree and the sun shines through it and there's light just coming off of every little bit and part of the tree. Just in a way you've never seen it before. And he said he was looking up there and the Lord spoke to him and said, "Clifford, if I showed you yourself like I see you, you'd throw your hands up and give up because you wouldn't be able to handle it." So I want to say this evening. I know that there's things, thank the Lord, that He realizes I'm not ready to see about myself. In His mercy. And then I probably will go to the grave with elements of unrighteousness in my life that the Lord does not impute unto me as sin, that He covers with His blood and His righteousness, because maybe I never got to the place where He was ready to reveal that to me. And I believe that's one of the reasons why when we get to the other side, we're going to be so thankful for the blood of Jesus that forgave us for things that maybe we never knew were wrong. But at the same time this evening, I believe that there are things that the Lord wants us to understand about ourselves. I believe there are things that the Lord is trying to get across to all of us. There are things about our lives and about us as individuals that the Lord in His mercy tells us through His Word and through the preaching of the Gospel and from His Holy Spirit that comes down and He speaks to us. And we're going to be responsible to understand those things about ourselves. Jeremiah said in the 10th chapter, he said, "It is in man that walketh to direct his own steps." I believe that tonight. I need something besides myself to direct my own steps. The way of man is not in himself. I can't on my own. It's not naturally within me to be able to see myself as I ought to. And it's not naturally within me, really, to understand myself and see myself as other people see me. Do you know a lot of the times that the crowd of people around you see things about you and know things about you that you really don't even understand yourself? That ought to give us some pause. It's not in us naturally to understand God or ourselves as He would have us understand without a revelation from Him. We need a revelation from God. In the 46th chapter of Psalm, it says, "Be still. Be still and know that I'm God." How difficult in today's age it is to get to the place where we shut out the noise, close down the voices, push the distractions away, and just be still, that we might be able to allow the still small voice of the Holy Spirit to talk to our hearts and begin to reveal to us the message that He has for us as an individual. Be still and know that I'm God. You know that the better that we understand who God is, the better that we'll understand the gap that exists between us and God, and the better we'll begin to understand the need that we have before God. But so many times we go out into the world and we blow right past God that's everywhere around us. You look up at the universe and the stars. You look at the consistency of the moon and the sun and the earth's orbit, and you begin to meditate on those things and the seasons and 24 hours in a day that happens like that so consistently, time in and time out. And the grass and all of the things that grow and the trees and the fruits and the vegetables. And it begins to boggle your mind how you could create and come up with that. And a human being, Darwin himself said on his deathbed that it made him sick to think about how evolution could create even the eyeball, the intricacies of how the eyeball worked. And yet we go out the door and we blow right past that. We're not still long enough to look around and recognize that God is all around us trying to speak to us. We have to put a seed into the ground. And when we put a seed in the ground, it has to first die to itself. And then it grows into something so beautiful. And yet we're so scared of death. And that the Lord's trying to say, don't be so scared of it. Give me your life. Put your trust in my hand. And if you're willing to die out to yourself, just as this flower is over here, you can grow up into something so beautiful. And yet we walk right by it. And He gives us visible examples all around us to increase our faith, to encourage us in who He is. Be still and know that I'm God. And if we'll do that, we'll begin to understand, Lord, I need You. Lord, I'm so human and You are so divine. Revelations 3 and 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and will open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me." But first we have to be willing and in the place where we can hear the voice of the Lord. There's so many things in life today, we drown out the voice of the Lord. And thus we don't know ourselves like God wants us to know ourselves. And then we get to the judgment, and then it's all open, and we say, "Well, Lord, I didn't know that. If I'd have known, I would have done something differently." And the Lord will say, "But I knocked at your door day after day after day, and you were so consumed with all the things that you wanted to do that you didn't hear my knock, and so I couldn't come in." Be still and know that I'm God. Be still to hear my voice. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock of every single soul, that if any man," that includes me and it includes you, isn't that wonderful? That the Lord is willing to knock at your heart's door. "If any man will hear my voice, I'll come into him and I'll sit down at your table." and I'll eat with you and we can talk and have a discussion and talk about the judgment that's coming and what you need to do in your own life so that when you get to the judgment, you can hear those words, well done. Come on in, thou good and faithful servant. It doesn't have to be a surprise to you because you are willing to let the Lord in and sit down and have some of those difficult conversations with you. Where he comes and says, Rod, what's in that room over there? Oh, Lord, that's a tough room. I'm not real proud of that room. Well, why don't we go in there and let's just look at it together? I'm here to help. I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to help show you a way out. Come on, Rod, let's go in there. Lord, I'm embarrassed of it. That's why I came to the world. I came to save the lost. I came to bring a resurrection of life to those that didn't know how to live in this thing. And it's been a drag and a pull and a discouragement. Something you wanted to cover up and lock the door. But I'm here to try to help. If we'll let the Lord come into our lives. And we'll go to the door and we'll say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this. This is not pretty. Come on, Rob, let's go. We can do this together. And we open the door and go in. The Lord has answers for us that we never thought about. His ways are higher than our ways. He has power that we never dreamed about. There are things that we can struggle with in life that we think, Lord, there's no way I can commit to you this thing. Lord, I can't have victory over this. I don't know any way around it. And the Lord's saying, come and confess it. Put it on the altar. Get it all out in the open. Don't try to cover it up because I know about it anyway. And let me help you with it. And the Lord has power that is far above your willpower. That He wants to give to you. But we have a responsibility. We've got to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I got a problem right here. Lord, I need some help. We have to be willing, as Jeremiah said in the 3rd chapter of Lamentations, he said, let us search and try our ways. And do what? Go on our way? What did it say? And turn again unto the Lord. Let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. It's going to take time. It takes time. Oh, well, I'm pretty busy. You're going to have to make some you're going to have to prioritize. This is pretty important. You want to stand at the judgment and be able to be welcomed in? You're going to have to spend some time on it. And it takes something else. It takes intellectual honesty. It's going to take time. And we're going to have to be intellectually honest with ourselves. Let us search. Let us search. And try our ways. And then turn again to the Lord. Lord, I searched my way and I saw something and it didn't look very pretty, Lord. And Lord, I need help in this thing. In Psalms 119:59, it said, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Do you see what happened here? I thought on my ways. I meditated. I took time. I was intellectually honest with myself about who I was. And I did what? I made a course change. I made a change in the direction that I was taking. And I turned again unto your testimonies. Lord, I found a gap between my life and Lord, what your word said. And I thought on my ways. And then I turned again to what you have. Lord, what else do you have for me? It's going to take time. You have to be willing to take the time, folks. We find time for so many things in this life. How much time do we spend searching and trying our ways? If we were to compare how much time we spend doing that versus how much time we spend, you fill in the blank. Would we be comfortable with that report? Our souls are at stake. That's why we're here tonight. We don't know when we're going to meet God. But He's given us tonight. And He's given us His Word and His Spirit. And He's looking to see, will you turn? unto me? Will you examine your ways? Psalms 139 and 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, search me. Lord, I don't know myself like I ought to know myself. But I'm interested in seeing myself like you want me to see myself. Lord, would you search me? Lord, don't turn your face from me. Lord, I've erred, I've sinned, I've made mistakes, I'm human. Lord, would you be merciful to me? Lord, would you search me? Try me, Lord. Get down into the motives of why I do what I do. Sometimes we can do things that look good to other people. And sometimes other people can look on and it looks like a righteous Christian thing to do. And yet our motive is not righteous. Our motive isn't right. Lord, would you help me understand my motive? I'd rather understand it now than when I get to the judgment. In the 22nd chapter of Genesis, we find where Abraham allowed the truth of this verse to take place. I'm just going to read the first two verses. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and he said unto him, listen to this, and he said unto him, Abraham! And he said, behold, here am I. He didn't have to call his name over and over and over again. He just said, Abraham! And Abraham was right there, waiting to hear the knock. Oh, I think that was the Lord. Here am I, Lord! Are we that attentive? Do we listen for the voice of the Lord? Do we unplug our ears long enough to listen? Do we ask the Lord, Lord, would you come by my way? Lord, I invite you to my home tonight for dinner. Lord, would you come speak to me? So that when he comes by and he says, Rod, hey, that's the Lord. Or does he say, Rod? 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 He's not going to force his way in. But Abraham said, here I am, Lord. And then the Lord touched the thing that was so close to Abraham. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. The Lord touched Abraham's identity. He touched the very core of what was going to become of Abraham. He promised Abraham, you're going to become the father of a great nation, and this is who you are. And no doubt Abraham's thought about that many times. And then the Lord came along and said, I'd like to have that. And I wonder tonight how many times the Lord has come by our way and said, Rod, I'd like that thing right there. I'd like you to climb the mountain and sacrifice that. I go, Lord, but that's who I feel like I am. Lord, that gets to the very core of my identity. And Lord, if I change that, it seemed like such a mountain to climb. And how many times have we justified and said, well, that must not have been the voice of the Lord? Couldn't Abraham so easily have done that? Well, it must not be the Lord, because the Lord promised that I was going to have a son and that everything, all this was going to turn out. That must not be the Lord. We can so quickly do that when the Lord comes along and touches something that's so close to who we are, or something we don't want to acknowledge that's who we are. Or the mountain looks too steep. Lord, I can't do that. And days pass and we keep pushing against it until the time where maybe we don't hear that voice anymore. Are we open tonight to the dealings of the Lord. Lord, I'm willing for you to get close in to my life. Lord, I want to know. I want to know what it is that you're asking of me. Lord, I want to know how you see me and how I'm responding. Lord, am I living according to the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Here's a challenge. How often do you read through the fruit of the Spirit in the fifth chapter of Galatians and compare the conduct of your life against each one of them? Now, you don't have to answer that out loud, but I will tell you that I don't do it enough, and when I do it, I feel like I'm caught short. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Oh, I have love. Do you? How much love do you have for lost souls? How willing are you to sacrifice to reach somebody who's facing eternity in hell to reach them? And we start thinking about all of these things. Joy, peace. Do I have the joy and the peace that really reflects Jesus Christ? Gentleness. Oh, well, Lord, they kind of needed somebody to be rough with them or they weren't going to understand what they needed to do. Well, what's the next one say? Well, no, wait, Rob, let's go back to gentleness. Goodness. Meekness. But Lord, if I wasn't firm with them, somebody needed to be. And if I didn't do it, who was going to do it? Are we easily entreated? Ooh, that last one, temperance. You know, these things get close. Temperance? Look at how you spend your day. If you were to get a catalog and start logging the time against each activity throughout the course of the day, meditation, reading, prayer, the Lord's not asking us to sit in a corner and play a harp and think about Him 24/7. The Lord, He gave us a life to live. But He also asks us to live life with an ear always open to hear the voice of the Lord. And if I were to start to log, Lord, it looks like I really kind of got out of control here, and there is no way I would have heard your voice because my voice itself was so loud lining somebody else out. Or in my own mind, I was talking so loud because I was not happy with the situation. Or, Lord, I let guilt and I let anxiety and I let fear and I let discouragement so crowd my mind, Lord, for this block of time. And if we started looking at how all that time was categorized and we got to the end, what would it look like? Lord, search my heart, would you? Lord, help me to search my own life. Paul said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Have you thought about that one for very long? How about the next one that said, do all things without murmurings and disputings? I can't say that I am at the point where I do all things without any murmuring at all. But here's what I do know. The Lord wants me to recognize some of those things. And He wants me to make some improvement. The Lord expects that from me. He wants me to understand that I'm going to be known and that I am known by my fruit. And that I need to be a light to the world. And if I profess myself as a Christian, but I always have a sharp tongue and I'm always murmuring and I'm not easily entreated and I spend a whole lot of time on things that I'm interested in and maybe not a lot of time on the great commission that we've been given to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, Lord, help me to understand some of these things so that I can grow in grace. seems like we're so good at justifying ourselves. Do you recall when the Lord came to the disciples and He said, "Who do men say that I am?" Remember that? The disciples said, "Well, Lord, some of them say you're John the Baptist, and some of them say you're Isaiah, and some of them say that you're Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." Well, I don't think the Lord was really concerned about who other people said He was. He kind of knew that. He finally got to His real point. He said, "Well, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And I wonder tonight if the Lord would come along and if the Lord would ask us the question, "Who do you say that you are?" And I wonder what the difference would be between who I said I was and who the Lord said that I was. It's sobering. I believe it's one reason why James or Paul said in the second chapter of Hebrews, he said, "Let us therefore take the more earnest heed." He didn't just say, "Let's take heed." He didn't say, "Let's take earnest heed." He said, "Let's take the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." Because if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and true, and it is, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So He said we need to take the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard. Listen to the things that we've heard. We're so good at hearing it and then going out those double doors in the back. Do you remember in the first chapter of James, it talked, maybe the 23rd verse somewhere there, the man came and he looked in the glass. Remember that? And he said he beheld himself in a glass. He saw who he was. But then what happened? But then it said he went away from the glass and straightway forgot what manner of man he was. And the enemy is so good at quickly putting double doors all around us. We begin to see who we are, and the Lord puts a set of double doors and a reason to go through them, so that we'll quickly forget who we are. And the Lord really wants us to stay there for a while. Say, "Lord, that doesn't look very pretty." Have you ever noticed sometimes you look better when you look in the mirror and the lights are really dim? And you turn the light on and say, "Well, I don't like the way that looks. Well, I'm going to just get ready with the light off. There, that looks better." But you know that people really see you with the light on. And if you have something, you know, hanging out of your hair and you look in the mirror and you go, "I don't have time to take care of that. I'll flip the light off. There, that looks a whole lot better." And you go out into the world, it's still there. It doesn't change the fact. And the Lord so often tries to put mirrors in front of us so that we can see ourselves. And then I turn and go this way because I don't like it. And the Lord in His faithfulness steps in front of me and puts another mirror. Whoa, Lord, and I turn this way. And the Lord all through our life is trying to put mirrors in front of us. And the enemy's spending all of his time putting a set of double doors and calling to us to go a different direction. There's so many things in the world. We live in a world so full of escapes and distractions to get us to take our eyes off of what we really need. Do you know that when Jesus Christ came by the woman at the well and He said, you know what the first thing He told the lady was? Remember what it was? He said, "Give me a drink." Do you think the Lord was really concerned about getting Himself a drink? Was that really what the Lord wanted? No. The Lord asked the lady, "Lord, give me to drink." And He asked her that not because He was thirsty. It was because He wanted her to recognize that she needed a drink of something different than what she was drinking of. Yes. And so the Lord came by.
Well, she was distracted with seven husbands. She was distracted with having to come to the whole same well of water every time. Maybe to get away from the seven husbands. I mean, that can get complicated. And so she's coming day after day. And the Lord's wanting to say, listen, you're distracted. You need a drink of something. You know, when the Lord healed the man of, healed his blindness, the one that he took out of the city, do you think the Lord just wanted to go take a walk because he needed some exercise? When he said, here, come with me. He could have healed the man right there. But he said, come on. And he took the man, and it said they went out of the city. And when they got out of the city to a different place from where the man was, the Lord gave healing. The Lord told Martha, he said, Martha, you're cumbered about many things. You're troubled. You're troubled about many things. Mary's chosen. There's one thing that's needful. And Mary's chosen the better thing. You're cumbered with all these things. And I want to tell you tonight, with the hope of the gospel, that the Lord wants us to look inward because He wants to give us a drink of something we have not drank before. The Lord wants to take us to a place different from where we are. A lot of times we want the Lord, Lord, I have this problem right here. I'd like you to take care of it right where I am. And we don't want anything else to change. We just, Lord, I want victory just like right here, and I don't have to move. And the Lord says, come with me. And He wants to take you to a different place, but you have to be willing to walk with Him. You have to be willing to trust Him. The Lord wants to come our way and say, Rod, one thing's needful, and you're troubled about all these other things. I have something for you, if you're willing. Tonight, it's up to us. It's up to you to decide whether or not we're willing to spend the time in intellectual honesty and whether we want to apply our heart to know and to understand what it is that the Lord would have us to understand. Are you willing to search and try your ways tonight? Are you willing to really look inward, ponder, and think about it, and turn again unto the Lord's testimonies? I want to get to the end of the way and have the testimony of Paul, where he said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight, I finished the course, and I've kept the faith. But do you know that for me to be able to have that testimony, for you to be able to have that testimony, you're going to have to spend some time looking at how you're fighting. I fought a good fight. Lord, am I fighting a good fight? I finished the course. Have you spent time understanding what course you're on? I've kept the faith. Have we spent time really examining our faith into the Lord against what the Lord would have of us? The Lord's giving us opportunity to do all of these things, but it requires time and it requires intellectual honesty. But the Lord will help us. In John, the 21st chapter, again in closing, John, the first chapter, I want to reread that. In the 21st verse, and they ask him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou the prophet? He said, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That's the question to us tonight. Who are we? Is the Lord able to confess us as a dependable servant of the Lord? That's a question that I want to know the answer to this evening. That's a most important question to understand. And I know tonight that the Lord's willing. That's why He came, was to help us. Regardless of how ugly the situation looks, regardless of how deep a pit we've dug for ourselves, The Lord came to lift us out of that. We just have to realize we're in the pit. The Lord just wants us to lift our hand up and say, Lord, save me. He just wants us to be honest and say, Lord, I need help. And when we do that, the Lord is going to remember, oh, I paid a great price. I shed blood on the cross. I went through a lot for the salvation of this child. Yes, I will help you. Isn't that a wonderful hope that we have tonight? That His blood can cover everything. His power, His mercy, the help that He has is available to every single one of us if we will. I want to live my life so that I can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.